Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
Our Old Testament reading from this morning is from Numbers chapter 21. From Mount Or, they set out the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food." Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and that the people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord, and he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord. If you would join me on the page 8 on the Catechetical Review, the fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread. What does this mean? God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. What is it meant by daily bread? Daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. Our epistle reading from this morning is from James chapter 1. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once he forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being not no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and not bridle in his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Easter from the 16th chapter of St. John. Jesus said, "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father." His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. This is the gospel of our Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you again for the fruit that you have produced in us through the waters of holy baptism. We pray this day, dear Father, that you would let that fruit continually shine out of us, that we might love you and serve our neighbor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The meditation today, the word for today for us comes from the epistle of James, especially these beginning words, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Imagine you're on the transplant list. You've heard from as long as you can remember that you have a bad heart. You were born that way. It will not sustain you. You're lucky to be alive as long as you have been. You know, all the tests confirmed it. All the doctors have said the same thing. You know it very well just by how you feel that your heart is not going to sustain you. And then you get a call. There's a heart. Be at the hospital. And you drop absolutely everything that's going on in your world, and you are met at the hospital by all of those who bring you in. It isn't long, and you're in pre-op. The nurses come in, the doctor comes in, the anesthesiologists come in, and they're all telling you the same thing. This is a miracle. This heart is a tremendous match for you. You have life here. You have a future ahead of you that you didn't have before. It's absolutely amazing. They can't believe how everything has happened. By the death of one man, you have life. And your response? Thank you. But no thanks. I just wanted to hear that I had a new heart. That's absolutely absurd, isn't it? That you knowing that you had a bad heart and that heart being provided for you, and then you say, thanks, but no thanks. I just wanted to hear it. I just wanted to hear that I had a new heart. It's totally absurd to think that hearing that you have a new heart is enough. Hearing you have a new heart is life. And it's life-changing news. But the heart must be put into action. Your new heart setting inside your chest, not pumping blood through your veins, does you absolutely no good. You will still die, even though you've heard the news. You have a new heart. James in the epistle today is writing to us, and he says this: be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. To put it another way that we just heard from the kids, an apple tree produces, orange tree produces, and Christians produce Christians. Yes, that's true. That always comes up. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is just a small portion of the fruit of the Spirit that comes out of people who are baptized and live in the Christian faith. In holy baptism, you have received a new heart. The man, Christ Jesus, gave his life for you. Your natural heart, your body and soul, apart from Christ and his promises, will die because of your sin. The sin that you inherited from Adam and Eve, and then don't forget your actual sin, thought, word, and deed. And all of those things, apart from Christ, will kill you and separate you from his promises. But you, dear child of God, we are so loved that Jesus would willingly come into our world, take on our flesh and blood, and then take on our sin. Take it on himself and go to the cross and give his life for you. Give his heart to you. And because of that, we have life. Because of that, we produce good fruit. I was telling Pastor in the sacristy, I'm doing what most pastors won't do. They don't like to preach from James because James has a reputation, and it only comes up once in all of the times of preaching, because it's so easy when we preach James to think that we're saved by the good things that we do. To think that somehow James says, do good works, so we're saved by our good works. Saying that Christian faith will produce good works is a complete misunderstanding of what James is trying to tell us. We know better. We are not saved by the work that we do. We're saved by the work that Christ did when he gave us his new heart. Paul writes this, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved, not by your works. This new heart that we've been given is a complete and a free gift to you. You're forgiven. You're at peace with God. He promises to be with you. You're never alone, never abandoned, always guided and loved. You have peace with God, and the natural reaction to a faith like this is to produce fruit. Love God and love my neighbor. Good works in action. Good works not to save us, but to serve all of those around us. James writes this letter to the congregations of the Christian church that have now been scattered throughout the world. He writes to encourage them, because he knows how easy it is living in the world to fall back in the same patterns of the world. Patterns that we have been pulled out of when we have been given this new heart. James' epistle is written for us. It's written for me. Right here for us today, we need to be reminded of these same things James was reminding the people of so long ago. That Christian faith changes us. And not only changes us, saving faith in Jesus produces Christian fruit. One of the clearest fruits of the Christian church, one of the clearest fruits that is produced by faith, is forgiveness. We pray every time in the Lord's Prayer, and forgive us our, as we is a good work. It's forgiveness. It's a product of the Christian faith. It comes from the new heart that has been given to us. And yet, when someone hurts us, our first instinct is usually not to forgive them. We usually don't want to do that, to forgive as we have been forgiven. But we want to fall back into the patterns of the world. We want to hurt them. We want to get even with them. We want to carry the grudge against them. We want to refuse to forgive them. And then we do just like the world does. We justify our action. Well, don't you know what they did to me? Don't you know how many times they've hurt me? Don't you know how many times I've forgiven them and they don't seem to be sorry at all? So I'm done. I'm just not going to forgive them. That is not how the fruit of faith works. James' message is for us, for all of us, when we refuse to forgive. And it's clear. James says to all of us, be doers of the word. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Forgive that person who has hurt you just like Christ has forgiven every one of your sins. Living in the Christian faith will produce Christian fruit. If it doesn't, if you refuse to forgive as you have been forgiven, you may be deceiving yourself about your salvation. From the cross, Jesus cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. the guards that mocked him and put the crown of thorns on his head and beat that crown into his skull as he was walking to the cross are forgiven by the work of Christ on the cross. The soldiers that nailed him there, forgiven by Christ's new heart, given to even his enemies. When Jesus said, "It is finished," you were forgiven. All your sins, everything you've done, every time you've refused to forgive, forgiven by the new heart, by Christ given to you. Many pastors, I know when we preach, they dread preaching about a few things. They dread preaching James, and they dread preaching tithing. That is the sacred cow that nobody wants to talk about. Your gifts, your assets, your money. Don't touch that, Pastor. Don't talk about that. Most of the time when we talk about tithing, though, we do it incorrectly. We put tithing right smack in the middle of the law. You have to give 10% of what you have back to God, and we leave it there. And tithing is not in the law. Tithing is a gift of faith. It's a response to what God has given to us. Tithing, put rightly, doesn't belong in the law. It is a fruit of faith, giving back a portion of what God has given to us with a joyful heart. Is a natural reaction to the faith that God has given to us. The natural result of recognizing how abundantly God has blessed you. Life and health and daily bread and mothers and fathers and family and assets and the ability to do all kinds of things, all gifts that God has given to you. And what's the natural reaction when we love someone and it gets to be the beginning of December? What are we doing? We're buying gifts. We want to give back. We want to show that love. And that's exactly what tithing is. It's looking at this great gift of faith and salvation and all the things that God is giving to us. And tithing is nothing more than taking a portion of that and saying, "Lord, thank you." And he uses those gifts to continue the work of the ministry. When we tithe, that money goes to keep the lights on and the heat on in May so we're not cold when it's cold and rainy. It goes to pay the salaries of the pastors. It goes to support missionaries that are going to far places in the world so that others know of the hope that we have. It's all a gift. And the natural reaction to the Christian faith is to produce these things. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. James says it clearly, be doers of the word. Not by duty, not by obligation, but out of thanksgiving for what Christ has first done for us. Tithing is a good work. It's a good work in action. It's a good work not to save us, but to serve those around us and to serve those in the world. Dear baptized and loved children of God, you've been given this new heart by Christ. You've been rescued from eternal death and separation from him. You've been blessed with hope and faith and peace and promise and a church family and a regular family. You've been blessed with all of these things. James' encouragement for us today is be doers of the word. Do good works. Dr. Luther has this great quote, "God doesn't need your good works. But your neighbor does." And that's why James encourages us. Be doers of the word. Love your fellow man. Love your neighbors. Continue to show this great promise and mercy and new heart that God has given to you. And let the world around you see it. Call your mom today. First of all, tell her I'm sorry. And then tell her I love you. And remind her of the great gift she is to you. Men, be the head of your families. Teach, Teach your kids to pray. Do daily devotions. Read God's word together. Let these fruits of faith grow through you, the head of the family, into the family that God has given to you. Bring your friends with you when you come here. Let them see the joy and the hope and the promise that is ours. Let them see the Christian faith shine so clearly through you as the fruit of this new heart lives in you and is shared with the world. Be doers of the word, not to save you, but as a result of being saved. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.